This morning, we meet Mark halfway through his gospel. According to the story so far, Jesus' ministry appears to be well established in Galilee. Mark says Jesus has called 12 disciples to preach the good news that the kingdom of God is near. Wherever he goes, he's followed by crowds of people seeking his healing touch and power to cast out demons. In the previous chapter, Jesus has just brought a young girl out of death into new life as a symbol of the new life he is bringing to Israel. By now, the Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem are tracking and challenging him. He's clearly becoming a threat to the status quo. And then Jesus goes home to Nazareth, expecting a warm reception. It does not go well. "Who do you think you are?" the hometown folks said. "Joseph's son, what could you possibly tell us about Holy Scripture?" When he preached, his words evaporated into thin air because his listeners could not get over the fact that he was the carpenter's kid. So they missed seeing that he was also God's kid. Today, Mark tells us, Jesus is on the move with the bitter taste of rejection in his mouth and a desire to hear from God ASAP. Something like our prayers when things go wrong. "Please, God, where are you in this terrifying place?" Mark is eager to tell us where God is. He begins by telling us that Jesus knew that God sent him to the lost sheep of Israel to inspire them to return to the core of the faith delivered by Moses. Mark is eager to tell us, It was a beautiful partnership. Jesus would preach a sermon with God's truth hidden like a fishing lure inside his story. Then he dangled the bait in front of the listeners. Those who experienced discovery met God inside the parable, and the Holy Spirit opened the gates of the kingdom of God. But the hometown folk, so intent were they, remembering little Jesus playing in the backyard with their kids, missed the lure. Before we explore what happened next, remember that faithful Jews of the first century were hyper-focused on keeping the faith pure. To ensure their own purity, rabbis developed thousands of rules for all Jews to obey to avoid sin. These complicated rules warped the true meaning of the faith. Anyone outside this culture was considered unclean. Women, who, by the way, were chattel property and had no rights to anything, were in particular unclean and therefore not allowed to speak to a man. Gentiles, considered savage dogs, were also unclean. Contact with either required an onerous regimen of religious cleansing. Despite the hurt of rejection, Jesus put one foot in front of the other, away from Nazareth toward Tyre and Sidon, two Mediterranean fishing villages once part of Phoenicia, preaching the good news of God's love and nearness of the kingdom. There, no one knew him as the carpenter's son. Enter the pesky woman, as Mark calls her. Traveling incognito along the road to Tyre and Sidon, Jesus and some of his followers were accosted by a woman who threw herself at his feet, begging him to heal her daughter, who was infested with demons. The disciples tried to shoo her away, and Jesus said, wait, let us hear her out. This is no idle encounter dug up from the dustbin of legend. It's recorded in both the Gospels of Mark and Matthew. In spite of the spotlight on it, the point is easily missed. One, a Gentile woman spoke to Jesus, and he listened. Number two, the Gentile woman argued with Jesus. Number three, the Gentile woman won the argument. Number four, the Gentile encounter changed the direction of Jesus' ministry. We just heard this dialogue as it's translated in our Bibles as follows. Jesus, you know I cannot heal your daughter. My mission is to feed the children of Israel. Woman, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. And Jesus says, for saying that, you may go. Your daughter is healed. What? These words bring up for me the image of a pack of snarling dogs fighting for food under a Jewish table, and this nagging Gentile woman is one of the dogs demanding healing for her daughter as the price for her to go away. And Jesus gives in. Not a warm and fuzzy confrontation. So why did Jesus heal the daughter? Is that translation what it really, really means? Well, not according to my favorite theologian, William Barclay. The translation you just heard is not quite exact. Gentiles, often referred to in the Bible as dogs, and said with the same snarl and curl of the lip if today we said bitch. In those days, because there were no spoons and forks to eat with, people ate with their bare hands. When finished, they wiped their hands on slabs of bread on the table, especially for this purpose, and then threw the bread to the floor to their little pet household lapdogs. That is the meaning of the word both the pesky woman and Jesus used and is found no other place in the Bible. Lots of dogs references, none little pet household lapdogs. Now listen to the conversation with what Barclay suggests is the actual meaning. Pesky woman. Sir, even the little pet household lapdogs eat the children's crumbs. And can you not see the flicker of a smile on her face as she slips in the distinction between savage beasts and lovable little pets similar to the lost sheep of Israel? And so Jesus, catching her cleverness, returns the smile, saying, because you put it that way, you may go. The demons have left your daughter. The light bulb goes off in Jesus' head. He knows that through the mouth of a worthless, unclean woman, God has spoken. His vision clears. What was unclean, worthless, other to his flock is instead welcome and embraced in the heart of the loving God who is his and our Father. There is nothing other in the good news. His flock was not limited to those born into Judaism. There are no others. The kingdom is open to all who have the desire to seek and listen. His ministry has no boundaries, then or now. This is a sea change in Jesus' ministry. But there's more, because I figured if that's what happened in that first part of the reading, the second part of the reading has some red flags. There's more. In case we didn't see it in the first story, Jesus and his followers turn around back toward the Sea of Galilee. And according to Mark, Jesus comes upon a man who's been deaf since birth and therefore has a speech impediment. In great detail, Mark describes exactly how he heals this man. It seems a fitting thing for Jesus to do, but in my years of study, I have learned that Jesus heals for one reason alone, to show the glory of God. With the words of the pesky Gentile woman still ringing in his ears, God speaks to Jesus in a particularly personal way. Up until now, he himself was deaf to the enormity of God's call and was unable to speak to a worldwide audience waiting to hear the good news. He proves now that God's kingdom is not confined to a self-selected group who believed they alone were the keepers of God's love and attention. In the flash of the healing of the man unable to speak and hear, Jesus himself is now listening and able to speak to all of the good news. He was unmuzzled through the incredible glory of God. It's always refreshing to find God hiding in the parables and the stories, but what has this to do with us who live with things like COVID, Afghanistan, Haiti, water shortages, rising costs, global warming, racial and political differences, approaching old age, and mall shootings? But those healing stories tell us that there is no one outside God's love. God loves and has use for us all, wherever or in whatever condition we find ourselves. Called to be God's hands, feet, and brains in this world, we are called to hear and see. Jesus, without honor in his own hometown, puts one foot in front of the other and sets out for parts unknown. And on that journey, he discovers God waiting for him in two people labeled other, an unclean misfit Gentile woman and a deaf and dumb outcast. In each encounter, Jesus makes himself present to the other and in them recognizes the faces of God. This breakthrough revelation enriches God's world beyond measure, changes the course of human history and our own history. Are we called to do any less? Who is other for you? To whom are you deaf? What is God saying to you through them? Amen.